Just 4 months ago, a sizable portion of Arizona was ablaze. Three huge wildfires were burning millions of acres of timberland. This can make drastic changes to the local ecosystem. It can affect watersheds, cause downstream flooding, and disrupt the migration of wildlife. Mother Nature is already at work repairing the damage, with blooms visible among the burned-out trees. Reforestation experts are helping out, and as Mark Dugan reports, they're also planning for the next massive wildfire.
This is the 42 road over the Chiricahua Mountains of southeast Arizona. It starts out in the desert lowlands and goes over the crest of the range at about 8,500 feet above sea level. And it goes right through the heart of the burn area from the human-caused Horseshoe 2 fire. It burned almost 223,000 acres of the Chiricahua earlier this year. Recently, officials from the Coronado National Forest invited the media out to see the damage firsthand and to look at recovery efforts. We stop at the popular Rustler Park area near the crest of the Chiricahuas. The fire burned with a particular intensity here, leaving so much burned wood behind that it's the one area of the mountain range that's still closed to the public. Bill Edwards, district ranger with the Forest Service, lets us through a locked gate. We walk into a broad meadow carpeted with lush grass. There are flowers everywhere. But a closer inspection also reveals evidence of fire, a slope of dead ponderosa, a blackened shell of a picnic ramada.
I can't wait to see all this lupin when it flowers next year, though. That's going to be so pretty.
Oh, yeah. The flowers along the road have been awesome.
Yeah.
It is quite obvious that some light is returning to this scene just 4 months after the flames. Wildfires like the Horseshoe 2 often leave behind lots of nutrients in the soil. Add some summer rain to that, and sometimes reseeding efforts from forest restoration crews, and it's easy to understand why this meadow at Rustler Park is exploding with grass and flowers. We continue our dusty convoy over the 42 road. It's on to Cave Creek, a sensitive watershed on the east side of the mountains, and a popular destination for bird watchers. Ranger Bill Edwards.
Because it draws neotropical birds, that this is the very northern extent of their range.
After his presentation, Edwards and I sit down on a rock near the creek to talk.
The vast majority of the primary Chiricahuas did burn. All of them did. Anything north of Rucker Canyon, Tex Canyon, was involved in the fire. But this is also a fire-adapted ecosystem, where fire is a natural part of this ecosystem, and it's what this vegetation evolved with.
We're standing in an area right now where just kind of a cursory glance around 50, 100 feet, there's not much indication of fire right here.
No, right here, this was an area where the fire was very low intensity. It came through, definitely burned through here, but you'd have to look pretty hard to see the indications of that.
Now, November rain, of course, is often a possibility, and you talked just a little bit ago about how you've been warning some of the people who live in this area about how the fire is only the first part of the destruction that often happens. The second part's often the water and the erosion that comes from that.
Certainly. Many of these watersheds still are fairly unstable. Because of loss of vegetation, and that's going to continue for several years. We got through the first gap of it with the monsoons were very gentle for us, and we didn't see the large flooding that could have happened. But if we were to end up with a wet winter, we certainly could see flooding again.
That's Bill Edwards, district ranger with the Douglas District of the Coronado National Forest. We interviewed him near Cave Creek in the Chiricahua Mountains. He says except for the Rustler Park campground, everything else in the range is reopened to the public. The Horseshoe 2 wasn't the only Arizona wildfire that made news this year. The Monument Fire burned more than 30,000 acres and forced evacuations near Sierra Vista. But the one that captured the most attention was the Wallow Fire.
New information just coming in on the third largest wildfire.
More incredible video tonight of the raging Wallow Fire.
Mandatory evacuations are underway in eastern Arizona.
The Wallow Fire is still at 0% containment.
The Wallow Fire burned 538,000 acres, making it the largest in Arizona history. It destroyed 32 residences and cost more than $109 million to fight. The human-caused fire came close to destroying the towns of Greer, Alpine, Springerville, and Eager. It started on May 29th and wasn't fully contained until July 10th. Today, on a trip through the White Mountains, the leftovers of the Wallow Fire are visible everywhere. And the damage seems to be worse than the Horseshoe 2 burn area, more thorough, blackened slopes abound, as well as evidence of soil erosion from recent rains. Driving into Alpine, one can see where the fire was kept at bay, mere feet from a collection of houses. But like the Horseshoe Two Burn area, there is new life here. Round a bend in the highway, and suddenly one sees a hillside of bright green growth, providing a verdant carpet for a stand of dead trees. And like the Chiricahuas, it's the grasses and flowers that are returning first. To be sure, the recovery of the Wallowfire Burn area in the Apache Sitgraves National Forest will take years, even centuries. And forest restoration experts say the surrounding ecosystem will never be the same.
Hello, my name's Wally Covington, director of the Ecological Restoration Institute at Northern Arizona University.
After seeing the Wallowfire Burn area, we visited Wally Covington at his Flagstaff office.
What the Ecological Restoration Institute does is to provide scientific and technical support to agencies and stakeholders who are committed to restoring the natural health and sustainability of Forest of the West.
We asked Covington about the differences and similarities with the burn areas of the Wallow and Horseshoe Two fires.
Very often it's a function of the fuel accumulation at those particular sites. So typically we have some sites that are very severely burned, that if they're on steep slopes are highly erodible. Other sites that are moderately burned, it may kill all the trees, but not really subject the soil, the ecosystem to soil loss, and other areas where the fire is fairly light in intensity. Now, each of these areas will have different characteristics as far as revegetation is concerned.
Wildfires also release things like nitrogen as they burn through fuel. Covington says some of it is dispersed into the air during a fire, and some of it goes down into the ground, where it acts as a nutrient.
Some of the studies that we've done with prescribed burning show that where fuel accumulations are heavy, and by fuels I'm talking about the pine needles, the wood on the forest floor, a burn can release the equivalent of about 200 pounds of nitrogen fertilizer equivalent per acre, which is a real fertilizer pulse. That's why post-fire, a lot of the vegetation is so green and lush. It's why wildlife comes in. They're looking for high protein, high quality forage, and so they're drawn to those areas.
Covington admits that it's painful to see Arizona's woodlands burn, especially the old growth trees. But he also sees a wildfire's impact on a far larger area than just where it burns. It creates a chain reaction through an entire watershed.
These upland areas are linked to everything down to the ocean. So the initial impact, which is horrifying as it is, that's bad enough. But when you look at it over the long term, the secondary impacts, the loss of soils that occurs over decades, and the offstream impacts of flooding impacts, siltation of lakes, results in these fires having impacts far greater. We talk about the Wallow Fire, for example, being 540,000 acres. Well, the actual impacts of that are the entire watersheds that drain off of that area.
Wally Covington with the Ecological Restoration Institute says we can learn from past fire behavior to make better plans for future wildfires.
What can we do to help these ecosystems recover so that future generations receive a legacy of sustainable, productive landscapes? And for the state of Arizona, when we look at the increasing size and severity of our wildfires, we need to really go beyond just those initial bare treatments, the burned area emergency rehabilitation treatments, and look at what we can do over 20 or 30 year time horizon to help restore those burned over landscapes.
From the Chiricahuas to the White Mountains and beyond, Arizona's forests are in a delicate state, mostly dry and often overgrown, ripe for wildfire. And then there's the areas that burned just 4 months ago. It's certainly nice to see all the grass and flowers taking over a scarred landscape, but one can't help but wonder if all that new growth is just more fuel for another wildfire. I'm Mark Dugan for Arizona Spotlight.